Welcome to the Zimcast, a program dedicated to bringing you what's new in agricultural marketing. The Zimcast is the official podcast of AgWired and hosted by Chuck and Cindy Zimmerman.
Hello and welcome to the Zimcast. I'm Chuck Zimmerman. I'd like to thank the sponsors for our program, and that includes GrowMark, locally owned, globally strong, and Monsanto Roundup Ready Plus for weed management solutions. In this week's program, I'm going to share a couple of conversations from the National Ag Day activities that took place in Washington, D.C. last week. During that time there, I spoke with some outstanding young representatives of American agriculture. First, we're going to hear from Troy and Bobby Uglum. They are representatives of the Outstanding Farmers of America, and I think you'll enjoy our conversation. Then we're going to hear from Teresa Scanlon, former Miss America from Nebraska, and very much an advocate for American agriculture. I chatted with her briefly before her remarks at the banquet for National Ag Day activities, and we'll also hear her presentation. She has a great deal of enthusiasm and speaks very well on behalf of American agriculture. She's also very much in support of the Great American Wheat Harvest film documentary, which we are sponsors of as well. So let's start first here with my conversation with Troy and Bobby. First of all, tell me what this program is.
It's a national recognition program of ag producers, recognizing them for their excellence in agriculture and in conservation programs, sponsored by John Deere, a longtime sponsor. Just tries to bring out and promote agriculture through its producers. And then once you're a winner, then you're part of a fraternity. And that's the real strength of the organization is once you're in the organization, you're in it. And then they have annual meetings every year where everybody gets together. And it's a very good networking organization.
So what does this mean to you to be a part of this team?
I think it's, for us in the state, North Dakota is being recognized on a national level. And our peers also look to you. And for us personally, we've met phenomenal people from all over the country and learning, it's a great education tool.
So tell us a little bit about your farm operation.
Yeah, we farm about 4,500 acres in the Red River Valley, North Dakota. We have a diverse farm. We raise corn, soybeans, wheat, dry edible beans, dry peas, and spearmint. So I farm with my dad, who just recently retired. We have four children that we're looking to bring up into the operation.
You have said, I've heard several people talk about since we've been here, families and having family involved. So hopefully that will work out well for you over the years. You had a message for us here, this group that's attending the activities. Tell us a bit about what you had to say.
Well, I guess my main focus is it's not just a U.S. Food problem or a U.S. economy. It's a world economy, and the demand and the increase in population we have some things to really look forward to the future to feed the population as it increases. And American agriculture has always been in the forefront of providing safe, reliable, reasonable food. And we have some real challenges ahead of us that we need to work together and promote agriculture, because it comes down to food. Yeah. And, you know, to keep people happy and healthy, they need the food. And I think American agriculture is going to succeed in that.
We have seen a lot of efforts to reach out to the non-farm sector, and that includes a lot of farm moms. Bobby, what are your thoughts in terms of being able to help try to, you know, get that message out to mothers who may not be very familiar about where their food comes from?
Yes, I met lots of people who don't understand that your eggs come from a chicken and not the grocery store. So I think in education, and that's my background is education, we try to do as much as possible. And if we teach our kids young, they do understand, they love it, they embrace the ideas, and who doesn't like to go visit a farm? And so I think by talking, by promoting, by educating, we'll succeed in that forefront in a positive manner.
We are in the nation's capital here, and I know it's very important that we have a new farm bill. While you're here, are you taking advantage of maybe being able to talk to some of these folks?
Yeah, we have been. We met with a few already today, and we have appointments with some of our local representatives. Each person we talk to, we, you know, portray that agriculture is important and it's what helps run the country. And a farm bill gives us that safety net to continue to provide that safe, reliable food at a reasonable cost.
All right. Well, let's hope that that gets accomplished. I visited with Congressman Lucas briefly. I know he's trying to do the best he can to get that done. Next here in the program, let's listen to my conversation with Teresa Scanlon.
My name is Teresa Scanlon. I was Miss America 2011, and prior to that, Miss Nebraska 2010. I grew up in a small town in western Nebraska, Gearing, town of about 8,000 people, and I was the middle of seven children. I grew up homeschooled my whole life until my last year of high school, and ended up winning Miss Nebraska and Miss America right out of high school. I now live in Northern Virginia, just started college at Patrick Henry College this fall, and have been able to luckily continue traveling, speaking engagements, and my work with agriculture.
Well, speaking of agriculture, we're celebrating National Ag Day and thanking farmers everywhere. That, I know, has been very important to you.
Absolutely. I think it's mostly a product of my background in growing up in Nebraska that I just definitely grew up around agriculture and just assuming that everybody was kind of familiar with ag and didn't realize then how much we take that for granted and how much we should be thanking our farmers and ranchers and how much we need to continue to spread awareness all over the country, not just with young people. I mean, so many times, yes, we focus on, say, kids in school to help them understand, but my goodness, there are adults all over the country who just have no idea. And goodness, here in D.C. as well, there are many people that simply just don't have a handle on where our food comes from and who's behind it and who those people really are and what their life is like.
I know we're going to hear from you tonight on the program.
Yes.
What kind of message do you have for the folks gathered here at USDA?
Well, I think more than anything, again, it's to say thank you to those who do support agriculture, but also to hopefully encourage everyone that it is something we need to continue to fight for awareness and advocacy. And then also, I'm recently partnered with the Great American Wheat Harvest documentary, which is extremely exciting. I'm really looking forward to that. And so I want to be able to show the trailer for that and hopefully get everyone on board with that project.
Well, we're making sure that everyone in agriculture gets on board.
Good.
The Great American Wheat Harvest. We're a silver sponsor for the this project that Conrad Weaver, the director, is working on. Looking forward to seeing that tonight. Anything else you might say to folks in the ag community about words of encouragement? You know, we face a lot of challenges today out here in this marketplace we're in today and trying to reach consumers who don't know where their food comes from.
Absolutely. Well, I've definitely seen how there's a ton of stereotypes that surround agriculture in general. And I always say I'm kind of like the walking stereotype, blonde, homeschooled, big family, you know, all those things. So believe me, I've dealt with that. And so I think more than anything, I just have to thank those in agriculture so much because I've seen, I've just turned 20 years old, and I've seen how what we are doing today is going to be impacting not necessarily the people right now, but me and my children and my grandchildren. And so from a younger generation that unfortunately doesn't encourage those people enough, I definitely want to say thank you and say it means a lot to me to know that my future's in good hands, and that, yes, we've got a lot of work to do, but my goodness, those people that have been fighting for the past several decades to continue to the same safe, abundant, affordable food supply that we have in this country, that means everything to me because it will continue to impact my life for the rest of my life.
Well, thank you for being a good example, and, you know, with a lot of people that are in your generation, we got to look at what are the values that we hold dear. And are we, you know, do we understand those and will we, you know, kind of defend those?
Exactly.
You've been very good at doing that. Thank you very much for your support of agriculture and looking forward to many more in your, we'll call it generation, doing the same.
Now let's move to Teresa's presentation at the dinner at the USDA building.
Thank you so much. I'm so glad that everyone thinks that I'm here for you. I'm actually here as the unofficial launch to my presidential campaign. So, no, it truly is an honor and a privilege to be here. So wonderful to see some familiar faces from my travels over the past few years, as well as many new ones. And I really want to thank everybody who is a part of making this happen, especially Conrad Weaver and sponsors John Deere and the U.S. Custom Harvesters. I recently was able to partner with the new documentary coming out, The Great American Wheat Harvest, which has been a very exciting project, and so it's a privilege to be here tonight with them. I realized from talking with my table tonight that maybe I should just share a little bit about my background, where I'm from, and kind of explain how I have come to this place. And again, as was mentioned, I grew up in western Nebraska, the middle of seven children. My hometown's about 8,000 people, and I grew up around agriculture my whole life, although unfortunately my parents themselves did not farm. When you live in a town like that, basically you live on a farm, whether your parents farm or not. So it was something that I was always around and got used to. Just to put it in a nutshell, my year as Miss America, again, it was about over 150,000 miles that we traveled during that year. I counted more than 180 was the number of planes that I flew on during that year. 36, the number of states that I visited over 12 months. 5, the number of countries. 8, the number of marriage proposals I received that year. Innumerable the number of pictures I have taken and autographs I have signed. But then there are some numbers that apply to agriculture. 57, the average age of the American farmer is 57. 25%. Farmers tend to have an extended career. Ag workers make up over 25% of the 65 and older workforce, Urban Institute found. 1, the average age of the principal farm operator has increased roughly 1 year in each census cycle, from 50.3 in 1978 to 57.1 in 2007. The majority of farm operators are between 45 and 64. 65, the fastest growing group of farm operators is those 65 years and older, according to USDA. And 100,000 new farmers will be needed in the next several years to replace its aging workforce. So I hope you can see that some of those numbers give us something to think about. And in addition, I believe that the focus of agriculture has to do with these numbers. 7 billion. The world's population recently reached 7 billion. 925 million is the estimated number of hungry in the world today. And 210,000. There's about 210,000 working U.S. farms. So with only 210,000 U.S. farmers shouldering agriculture production in this country, there's what we call a thin green line standing between the safe, affordable, abundant food supply that we have today and total dependence on foreign countries. And these things really are the reasons why I think something like Ag Day is so incredibly important, because I think in order to continue to support and protect agriculture, we have to really focus on three things. And one is definitely that generational gap. I recently turned 20, finally, no longer a teenager, and it's a generational gap that's pretty significant between my generation and really the majority of those in agriculture. And so it's always fantastic to see when we're supporting things like FFA and any kind of young farmer programs. That's incredibly important. Then also, of course, educating and informing the public regarding the huge misconceptions and misinformation surrounding agriculture. And then not only the public, but, of course, here in D.C., politics as well. And fighting like never before for strong farm policy that is going to support agriculture and free up needless regulation as well. And I think it's understandable that most Americans are so confused about agriculture, because the average American is 3 generations removed from the farm. And so that's a substantial distance, really, where we don't understand where our food comes from, how it comes from farm to table. And I've certainly seen that. In my travels, I remember I was recording a TV show on a farm in Iowa, and we were touring this dairy farm. And the owner has a lot of tours from the different cities come through of younger kids, which is always good to see, because that's an excellent way to be educating them. Kids coming in that have really never seen most of these animals, and they think pigs are just the cutest, cuddliest things until they go in there and see them. And he was showing us all of these things, and he explained that
as the tour was coming, one of these tours was coming through, one of the teachers was looking at the cows and asked him, which cow does the soy milk come from? Said, please tell me she was joking. Nope, she was not. And that was a teacher. And while, of course, there's of course, always the single examples or the extreme examples, I think it's always interesting to see that while certain things in the media regarding agriculture are always being promoted, many people don't know the difference anyway. They hear soy milk all the time, so they think, okay, and they don't even necessarily know that there is a difference and that it doesn't come from cows. And I've certainly seen, moving to Northern Virginia from Nebraska, I just moved here in August to start college, quite a difference between urban and rural America. And while there is a lot of agriculture out here, it's very different than Western Nebraska and rural areas there. And the kinds of attitudes and the discrepancy there is huge. And so I think that being able to build those connections between urban and rural America, between producers and consumers, is huge. Again, not being a farmer myself, I feel maybe more on the consumer side, but also because of a background on the producer side as well. And hopefully being able to help build those connections is something that all of us can contribute to, and certainly something that I'm very passionate about. When I was 7 years old, people would ask me, so what do you want to do when you grow up, little girl? And I'd say, I'm going to be a lawyer, judge, president, and a Supreme Court justice. And that was that. Had it all planned out till the day I died. I was going to be president for 4 to 8 years, nominate myself to the Supreme Court, and be there until I died. So that was always the plan. While it hasn't changed much, I've certainly seen that my reasons for kind of wanting to do things like that, and even the opportunities that Miss America has certainly opened up for me, is realizing, my goodness, I need to do what I can to be able to represent rural areas, represent Nebraska, and represent agriculture as a whole as well, no matter where that might be. And I think this applies to all agriculture, whether it's animal agriculture or crop agriculture. Sometimes there can be such controversy between crops, whatever it may be. But this is something that we really have to show a united front for. One of the main reasons that, again, that I started competing in Miss Nebraska and Miss America was to be able to make your voice heard for those that you represent. And so more than anything, I'm here today to say thank you to our farmers and ranchers in this country, but also to each of you who participate in the agriculture industry and in supporting ag, because those people have made me who I am today. I mean, I would certainly not be standing here if it weren't for the farmers and ranchers back in my hometown that have completely shaped and molded my life. Agriculture is so much more than an industry, because to me, I certainly saw the way of life that surrounds it. And the kinds of morals and standards and values that I grew up with are irreplaceable, and I certainly appreciate that. And when I graduate law school, I plan on moving back to my hometown in Nebraska, because that's home for me. That's where I want to raise my kids. I've seen what a difference this can make overall. It's about so much more than just a job. And, I mean, it's another reason why I'm so blessed to be supporting the Great American Wheat Harvest tonight. And of course, with all of you here in D.C. and us being here tonight, we have to pick on politicians just a little bit. And since that's something I want to do in the future, I think it's okay. But I think we can all agree that politicians sometimes make silly laws. And I know we've got people from all over the country here, so we'll see how many people we offend tonight. But take California, for example. In California, in a Pacific Grove, molesting butterflies can result in a $500 fine. Also in California, it is illegal to set a mousetrap without a hunting license in some towns. In Georgia, in Quitman, Georgia, it is illegal for a chicken to cross a road. Also in Georgia, it is illegal to change the clothes on a storefront mannequin unless the shades are down. In Texas, it is illegal to shoot a buffalo from the second story of a hotel. Only in Texas. A recently passed anti-crime law in Texas requires criminals to give their victims 24 hours notice, either orally or in writing, and to explain the nature of the crime to be committed. Possibly one of my favorites. In Texas, when two trains meet each other at a railroad crossing, there was a law in one town that states when two trains meet each other at a railroad crossing, each shall come to a full stop and neither shall proceed until the other has passed. I'm blonde, and even I know that doesn't work. In Tennessee, it is illegal to use a lasso to catch a fish. I just thought it was impossible, but apparently it's also illegal. In Tennessee, it's also illegal to gather and consume roadkill. In Wyoming, using a firearm to fish is strictly forbidden. In West Virginia, as opposed to Tennessee, roadkill may be taken home for supper. In New York, there's a law that states the penalty for jumping off a building is death. In Kentucky, it is illegal to remarry the same man four times. Not only is it just plain stupid, it's also illegal. In Kentucky, it's also illegal to carry a concealed weapon longer than 6 feet. Now, of course, I'll conveniently stop reading these before we get to Nebraska, where, by the way, it's illegal to go whale hunting, just in case you're planning on it. Now, of course, though, I think more than anything, agriculture has also been dealing with attacks from politics and from government in general, just because I thought it was astounding how Secretary Vilsack showed how agriculture is the backbone of our economy. And so when we're talking about building the economy, about coming out of recession, about creating jobs, whatever it may be, agriculture is the way to do that. And I think we can see that when we have agriculture strengthened, the economy is strengthened. And so I always believe that that is a starting point that we should always be supporting and not be thinking of that as the last area that we need to take care of, especially in the economic realm and the political realm. Now, again tonight, I want to recognize the U.S. Custom Harvesters. We have in attendance here. The trailer of the film that you are about to see specifically highlights these people. So I know we have some in the audience today. If you could just stand and we could recognize you, that'd be fantastic. Thank you so much for being here tonight. These are some of our U.S. Custom Harvesters. We also wanted to thank again John Deere and the U.S. Custom Harvesters for their support of the Great American Wheat Harvest documentary. I think this is going to go a long way in, once again, telling the story of agriculture, helping people understand how food gets from the field to your plate, and also putting faces behind agriculture. Because something I've certainly realized, too, is that we often don't have faces to put behind these things. And so young people especially maybe think of what's behind their food, but not the people behind their food. And so I think this film will tell a great story in allowing this to be something personal, something realistic, and to really see a lifestyle that may be foreign to a lot of people. So I want to encourage all of you tonight also to possibly be thinking about how you might support the Great American Wheat Harvest film. You can go to greatamericanwheatharvest.com to get more information about that, to see how you might be involved. But it's projects like this that we certainly need more of, to be in the media, to be in every realm, to reach an audience that might not be reached in any other way with agriculture's message. So more than anything, I certainly want to thank you all for being here tonight, for your support of agriculture. Again, I want to thank Conrad Weaver, who's the producer of this film, for all of his hard work in continuing to tell the story of agriculture. Thank you so much.
Great representatives of American agriculture. Really glad I had the opportunity to visit with these fine young folks. And that is our Zimcast. I hope you've enjoyed it. And thank you for listening.
You've been listening to the Zimcast, the official podcast of AgWired. Check us out at www.agwired.com to find out what's new in agricultural marketing.